Through times of loneliness and heartbreak and despair and sadness, I've always found that a good song of inspiration will lift me up, make me feel just a little bit better. Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near? Entrance within demanding, who is the voice I hear? Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near? Entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear? Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee.
Just imagine that it's a lazy, hazy Saturday afternoon. You've been out working in the yard, catching up on some overdue chores. Should have been done a few weeks ago, but you're getting caught up. You're cutting the grass, you're weeding the flower bed, you're trimming the hedges. You've just finished for the day. You come inside to a nice, refreshing glass of iced tea, maybe lemonade. You kick back, relax, take it easy. But then, as you begin to look around your house, you see a home that has suffered from a week's worth of being lived in by a husband, a wife, three children. Then you realize, hey, when it comes to housework, your day has just begun. But just as you get up to begin to clean the house, before the president declares it a federal disaster area, the doorbell rings. You wonder to yourself, who on earth could that be at a time like this? So you go to the door, you open it, and lo and behold, there stands the President of the United States. Now, how would you feel? Well, you probably would feel like a dirty dog communist, wouldn't you? Well, it may surprise many of you to know that right now, knocking at the door of your heart is one that's even greater than the President of the United States. And his name is Jesus. No matter how dirty, how dusty, how dark your heart may be, if you will open the door of your heart, Jesus will come in. He will come in and clean up the dirt. He'll sweep your house of all the dust. He'll light up the dark places. He'll turn your heart of grief and guilt into a house of grace and glory. In our study of The King is Coming, we're at the last part of chapter 3 and a verse that's very familiar to many of you. Revelation 3, verse 20. Most everybody has heard this verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, open the door, I'll come in and sup with him or eat with him, and he with me. Probably the most famous and well-known verse in the book of Revelation. Untold numbers of people have come to Christ through the message and preaching of this one verse. Its truth inspired an artist once by the name of Holman Hunt to paint one of the most beautiful and tender portraits of the Lord Jesus Christ the world has ever seen. Now, even through the primary application of this verse, we learn some things. We learn, and I think most people think it's talking the saint on the inside. Open the door, I'll come in one of my people and sup with him and he with me. But there's also a secondary application, and that's to the sinner outside of the church. So it has a general appeal, this verse does, to all mankind. Three things I want to share with you today, and here's the first. A picture that is truly amazing is seen in Revelation 3, verse 20. This is such a startling truth that Jesus even says, "Behold, behold." In other words, stop, look, listen. Even our Lord knew that it would be hard to believe that the one who created the universe would stand at the door of one human heart, wanting to gain entrance. What an amazing picture this is. It's amazing for two reasons. First, the presence of Jesus. Jesus is right there. Just imagine a lost sinner who has no time for God. He doesn't care one thing about the gospel. He doesn't think about the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 second out of every 24-hour day, it may cross his mind, but maybe not. Yet the Lord stands at the door of his heart. And the Lord is knocking as if he had nothing else to do. The one who said, "The doors I open, no man can shut, and the door I shut, no man can open," is the one who stands at the door of one sinner's heart and knocks. Now, that ought to tell you how valuable you are to God. I hear these abortionists sometimes say, "No woman should be forced to have an unwanted child." Let me tell you something, folks. There's no such thing as an unwanted child. God wants every child. He's saying to you, as he knocks on the door of your heart, "I want you." Isn't it interesting that it is Jesus that is standing at the door? Now think about this. Not some substitute, not some proxy, but Jesus. He doesn't send anyone else. He doesn't send Michael or Gabriel. He comes himself. You know, in the Bible, the Lord often delegates work to the angels. When he was going to announce the birth of Jesus, he sent Gabriel, right? Daniel in Daniel chapter 12 tells us that Michael, the archangel, will be there with his angels to support those who are the called of God. But when the Lord Jesus wants to save sinners, he doesn't send somebody else. He comes himself. He comes looking for us, seeking us, knocking at our door, beckoning us to come to himself. Now, we sometimes get the idea that we're saved because we sought God. Friend, we're not saved because we first sought God. We're saved because he first sought us. When Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, it was God who went looking for him. Remember? In the parable of the lost sheep, it's the shepherd that goes to look for that which is lost. Remember? In the parable of the lost silver coin, it was the housewife that looks for that lost coin. Remember? Even in the parable of the lost son, we call it the parable son. It's not really the son who found the father. The father never moved. The son was not saved by finding the father. He simply came back to where the father was. Oh, there are so many who are straining, struggling, and striving to get into heaven, when God simply wants to get heaven into us. I heard about a man who always went to work by taking a ferry from one end of the river to another. One day this man was late for work. He was trying to make the ferry so he could get to work on time. As he looked up, he saw that the ferry was about 15 feet from shore. He thought to himself, "If I run with all my might, I just might make it." Well, he began to run down the hill as fast as he could, and as he reached the edge of the pier, he leaped with all his might, straining with every muscle to reach that ferry, and he landed on the other side, flat on his face. He skinned his nose, chipped two teeth, cut his lip, tore his shirt, but he made it. Well, he jumped up with blood running down his mouth and said, "Praise God, I made it." The captain of the ferry gave him a strange look and said, "Son, we weren't going out. We were coming in." Well, friends, let me tell you, that is exactly the way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to go looking for Jesus. Jesus is looking for you. If you'll simply let him find you, open the door of your heart, he'll come in. So this passage is amazing because of the presence of the Lord Jesus. But secondly, it's amazing because of the patience of the Lord Jesus. Now, this verse translated literally says, "I have taken my stand and continue to knock." Now, Jesus is polite, wouldn't you agree? He is a sovereign God, the sovereign God, who can do what he pleases. He could walk through the door if he wanted to, but not only is he a sovereign God who could do it, he not only is a sovereign God, he's a gracious God. He will not do it. The Lord Jesus never enters where he is not welcomed, nor does he stay where he is not wanted. Jesus is willing to be the unseen guest in your life, but he's not willing to be the unwanted guest in your life. Do you remember the story in the 8th chapter of Luke where Jesus healed the man who was possessed by demons? He was terrorizing the community. He was a menace to himself and others around him. But then Jesus delivered him. The man was gloriously saved from the demon. Now, you would have thought that Jesus would have given him a hero's welcome and the keys to the city. Or you would certainly have thought that the townspeople would have done so. But instead, we're told in verse 37, then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them. For they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. You would have thought the people would have just been longing to welcome Jesus. That wasn't the case. They wanted him to leave. They didn't realize the opportunity that was present because the Lord was present. Jesus never went back. Folks, listen to me. They ran off the goose that laid the golden egg. Now, Jesus did not have to leave. He could have stayed. But he willingly bowed to their wishes. Let me tell you something, friend. He'll bow to yours. You don't want him. You cast him out, you won't receive him. He'll not force his way into your life. Jesus is so patient. He stands at the door. Now get the gist of that. He doesn't make a big commotion. He stands at the door and knocks. Doesn't make a big scene. He's not obnoxious. He doesn't push himself on anyone. No matter how many times he's rebuffed or rejected, he just continues to stand at the door and knock. You know why, don't you? The Lord Jesus continues to stand at the door because he knows what he's offering you. You see, Jesus invites us not just to life, but to a life more abundant. God never intended for human beings merely to exist. He wants us to really live. He not only wants to add years to your life, he wants to add life to your years. Jesus knows he's the only solution to every problem. He's the only answer to every question. And he's the only cure for every disease. But Jesus is also persistent. Patient and persistent. He continues to stand at the door and continually knocks. No one can ever say that Jesus ever knocked at the door of their heart. No one can ever say that Jesus never, ever knocked, never came the first time. Jesus, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, at some time or another, has knocked on the door of every human heart. Now, he knocks in different ways. He knocks in time of trouble. He knocks in time of triumph. He knocks in poverty. He knocks in prosperity. It may be through witness of a next-door neighbor. It may be through a sermon of a gospel preacher. It may be through the testimony of a recent convert. It may be through a billboard on the highway. It may be through a program on the radio. It may be through a broken heart, shed tears, a mother's prayer. But Jesus knocks. He knocks on the door of every heart. One of the greatest Bible teachers who ever lived was a man by the name of R.A. Torrey. R.A. Torrey was a young man living at home. His mother attempted every means possible to bring her son to Christ. She talked to him. She would put gospel tracts under his pillow, under his plate, in his books. She patiently persisted. She tried to bring her son to the Lord. Finally, R.A. Torrey got so fed up with it that in bitterness and unbelief, he ran away from home. But one thing that could not escape his mind was the prayer of a loving mother. As he walked out the door to leave, he said to his mother, son, if you ever come to the darkest hour of your life and you're going to believe me, just remember, the only way out is the God to whom your mother is praying. Well, R.A. Torrey came to that hour, a brilliant college graduate. He'd come to the dead end street. Some of you know that dead end street. All of us know that dead end street. His dead end street of scholarship and intellectualism, trying to figure everything out and have an answer for everything. He's sitting all alone, surrounded by the darkness of his unbelief and infidelity. R.A. Torrey made a decision. He decided to commit suicide. But then Torrey said, just as I decided to take my own life, the Spirit of God flashed through my mind. I saw my mother on her knees praying for me. I saw Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, and I knew he was knocking at the door of my heart. And I let him in, and I was born again. That's the testimony of one of the greatest servants God has ever known, R.A. Torrey. My friend, he'll do more. He'll not only save you, but he'll fill your heart with the same Spirit that he filled with R.A. Torrey. And he may have more in store for you in servanthood than even for Brother Torrey. So we need to think positively that Christ has got to work for us. Now here's the second thing I want you to see. It was amazing. It is amazing that he stands. But secondly, it's a promise that is assuring. Promise that is assuring. The Lord continues by saying, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. That's a promise to anyone, at any time, at any place, in any condition. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you've done. If you will invite Christ into your life, he will gladly accept your invitation and he will come in. Now, what are we talking about when we talk about invite Christ into your life or receive Christ into your life? We're talking about hearing the gospel message. That's the first thing. You must hear his call. The word hear means more than just to have sound waves of a voice enter the membrane of the ear. Now, it's more than that. It means to actually listen to what is being said. The Amplified Version of the Bible translates it like this. If anyone hears and listens and heeds my voice. I like that. Fanny Crosby was right when she said, Jesus is tenderly calling today. Bless her old soul. She's right. If you put your spiritual ear to the door of your heart, you'll hear him call. Now, you may say, well, I don't hear Jesus calling me. Well, maybe it's because you're not listening, my friend. Maybe if you'd listen, you in fact would hear him calling. But you've got to listen first, you know. Heard about two little girls who were looking at a picture of Jesus knocking at the door of a home. One little girl said to the other, why don't they let him in? The other little girl said, well, maybe they're down in the basement, can't hear him. Now that may be what's wrong with you, my friend. If you're lost today, I'm talking to you. You may have purposely hid your soul in the basement of your heart so that you'd not have to hear the Lord Jesus. Maybe you were saying, well, I've tried to hear him, but I can't hear him. Folks, that's just not true. You can hear. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Whether or not you hear the Lord Jesus is not up to him. It's up to you. He's sounding the call, the clarion call, the distinct call that can be heard by all who will truly listen. But secondly, you must not only hear, you must heed his command. It's not enough just to hear Jesus knocking at the door and calling. You must open the door. You've got to do something. We're co-laborers with God. God does his part. We're to do our part. A man does not become a Christian by chance. He becomes a Christian by choice. You have to choose. Now, there's one choice that God made. There's a choice that he made several choices on your behalf, but there's one choice that God will not make for you. God has chosen to love you. God has chosen to send his son to die for you. God has chosen to give you a Bible, but he will not choose to open the door for you. God will do everything in his power to see to it that you have the opportunity to make the right choice, but God will not make that choice. Nor will he force you to make the right decision. One of the most famous paintings in all the world is the one I referred to at the beginning of the message, Holman Hunt, entitled Jesus, the Light of the World. Practically all of us have seen it. Jesus is standing before a cottage that's run down, neglected. Thorns and thistles are covering up the windows. Weeds are growing along the walkway. The hinges of the door, rusty. But there stands the Lord Jesus Christ, holding a lantern in one hand and knocking on the door with the other. He's waiting, friend. He's waiting for you to make a decision. Someone studied that portrait very carefully and went to see Mr. Hunt. They said, you've made a great mistake. You didn't put a handle on the door. Mr. Hunt replied, I did not make a mistake. I painted the portrait exactly as it should have been painted. You see, the handle is on the inside. We must open the door ourselves. The poet who wrote these lines said it perfectly. There is a Savior who stands at the door of your heart. He is longing to enter. Why let him depart? He has patiently called you so often before, but always 'tis true. You must open the door. Here's the third thing I want you to see. He will honor your commitment. He will honor it. Jesus promises to anyone and everyone who opens the door that he will honor it. He said, I will come in. Sometimes when I talk to some people about coming to Christ, inviting Christ into their life, they'll say, well, if I were to choose to do that and open the door of my heart, how do I know he would come in? My dear friend, there's only one way anyone can know that. That is because he said he would. You see, in one sense, salvation is like a bargain. Jesus says, if you will keep your end of the bargain, I will keep my end of the bargain. If you will sincerely today ask Jesus to come into your life, that's what it means to receive him. John 1 teaches us that, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 9. He came to his own received him not, but as to many as did receive him, gave he power to become the sons of God. He'll give you that same power to become the sons of God. He'll come. He surely will. Here's another objection. Well, what if I don't feel like he came in? Folks, listen to me. Salvation is not based on your feelings. It's based on his faithfulness, to his word. He made promises. I tell you that Jesus Christ is a perfect gentleman. He does not lie. He keeps his word. If you open the door and invite him to come in, just as surely as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, he will come in, because you have his word that he will. I was reading a story recently about an incident that happened in the life of Napoleon. He was reviewing his troops on horseback when suddenly his horse bolted. His life was in danger. A private dashed from the ranks of the troops and grabbed that horse by the mane and brought it under control. Saved his life. Napoleon looked down at this brave soldier and simply said three words, "Thank you, Captain." Right then and there, he gave that private a promotion on the spot. When the soldier went back to his ranks, he didn't go stand in the line with the other ordinary soldiers. No, he went back to stand in the line with the officers. Immediately they said, "What are you doing here? You get back to where you belong." The man replied, "I am where I belong because I am a captain now." They said, "You're still a private. You still have a private's uniform on. How do you know you're a captain?" The soldier turned and pointed to his commander-in-chief and said, "Because he said so." Folks, if you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, change your heart, break your heart, there's any number of ways you can say it, but there's only one way to do it, and that's to do it. He'll come in because he said he would. Isn't it wonderful to know that we serve a God who is so great that heaven above cannot contain him, but is so small that he can dwell in our hearts? And he not only said he would dwell, but finally, he said he would abide. Jesus said, "I will come in and dine with him and he with me." You see, folks, when Jesus comes in, he comes in to stay. Your heart is not a hotel where he checks in and checks out by 12 o'clock noon. Your heart is a house which Jesus makes his home forever. When God moves into the human heart, he moves in to stay. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit that he will abide with you forever. Do you remember his little children's song? Into my heart is the title of it. Into my heart, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. What a thrill and joy it is when a man receives the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus comes in, makes his home in that man's heart, and sits on the throne of his life. Means two very important things as we close today. We enjoy fellowship on earth. I'll come in and dine with him and he with me. Interestingly enough, Jesus comes in as a guest, but he abides as a host. He asks us to let him come in and eat, but then he provides the meal. What a Savior. Here's the second thing. We enjoy his favor in eternity. To him who overcomes, he said, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame, and sit down with my Father on his throne. Jesus turns the supper room into a throne room. If you're tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you would like a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. He would want me to remind you of that today. Until next Lord's Day, remember, keep looking to Jesus.